necessarily. I just
no. It's
I'm just
fine.
inviting.
We're
Us
recording,
to play
and so
in the...
I will close Slay the Spire.
And I'm
whilst we're talking.
Just inviting us into the space of the podcast.
And I love that, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I have a bit of a goofy stomach today.
I'm sorry.
And it's upsetting because it was born out of like incredible luck. I ordered ramen yesterday. I was umming and ahhing about ordering food for like an hour and a bit because I was like, I can't keep ordering food. Like I've ordered food so much recently. We were just on the phone about it, where I was like, I keep ordering food because I'm in that headspace where I'm just so lethargic all the time that it's like, yeah, I can't even be bothered. I ordered ramen from my favorite ramen spot in Toronto. Order arrived after 10 minutes after me ordering it. Huh, that's a little fast. Curious. I go to the door. I pick it up. Oh, hang on. There's two ramen in here. This is someone else's order entirely.
Oh my God.
That's fucking amazing. That's so good. That means I can have ramen now, have one tomorrow, and get all of my money back because this is entirely not my order. I did that. I had ramen yesterday. It was pretty good. It wasn't what I normally order, but it was tasty and delicious.
Yeah.
And that's good. It wasn't my usual. I wasn't expecting any of the flavors. And I was like, ooh, how delicious. Mm-hmm. And then I got the like $30 back that I paid for. Fantastic. Put the other one in the fridge today. Took the other one out of the fridge. Heated it all up. Ate it. And then like 2 hours later.
Yeah.
When the food hit my stomach, my body was like, oh, hey, you don't feel like you're going to shit yourself, but something's up.
Yeah.
You should maybe just hang out on the toilet for like 40 minutes and just like be worried about it.
And pray.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. And I did that. And then I've just kind of felt gunky for the past like 7 hours where I'm being like, there is something just boiling in me, and it's upsetting.
And it's evil. It's
but it
it's
came
of...
from the world's best news,
but it came,
which was
yeah.
I got a free meal.
Yeah, two free meals.
Two free meals. I got two free meals, and that was
two,
great.
Max.
Kill yourself. Two ramen. Kill yourself. Do you know how many two times I referenced two mechs kill yourself whilst we're playing Mass Effect Andromeda? It's fucking
yeah.
lots. The amount of times they're chucking two mechs at us.
Yeah, they're chucking like, a lot of two mechs.
They're chucking a lot of two mechs.
Yeah, it's true.
Also, you know how when we started Andromeda, I was like, oh, I've downloaded 100 trillion mods?
Yes.
I accidentally have picked up a polyamory mod where I can just date everyone.
Nice.
Because I'm doing it, baby. I'm dating everyone. And this is the first time that I've been like, I'm not doing this for messy / cheating purposes. My rider is just
is just
poly. And
free
you know
love,
what?
Baby.
I of all of the games, hi, my name's Robin. I've played the Mass Effect franchise 100 billion times.
Hi, my name's Dylan. I've played 3 Mass Effect games.
And this is Dogspawn, where we talk through choice-based video games like book, club. This is Mass Effect Andromeda. Specifically, we're talking about Journey to Meridian.
Yeah.
We're talking about basically everything up to the point of no return.
Correct.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
This, we talk about this. We've talked about this with Dragon Age 2. We talked about it with, oh God, what else have we got? People like to be like, oh, this is like a big, this is, you know, like a poly. I don't actually have we talked about this. Everyone is poly in it. Everyone's dating each other. And we've just been like, that just doesn't fit the dynamics of this group.
I don't know that we've talked about this, but I do. I
no,
have heard
I might,
that
I,
with
yeah.
Dragon Age 2 specifically. I've heard that.
I think I'm conflating the found family thing that we have talked
we
about.
We have talked about found family
and,
the,
how,
and how
that's not it.
That is not applicable to all of
I
the
think,
games the way that people think.
I think
yeah.
the Tempest is arguably the only group that we've played that
yeah.
would be all dating each other.
Oh, yeah. Because they're all, like, recent college grads. Like, this group of people should not be in space.
And the only non-dateable person on the ship besides Callow is Drac, who's 1,000 years old and is the only one who hasn't recently left
your
college.
Peepaw.
Yeah.
He can't.
But it's
be
like
dated.
Everyone is. It's like I've had conversation with Jarl about liking Vetra. I've had conversation with Vetra about liking PB.
Yeah.
I've had conversations with. Oh God, I think Liam likes someone on the ship as well. And just because I'm dating everyone, like I
right,
closed
those conversations are not stopping. It's
and
just
also
sort of like
fun. I yeah. almost closed it out. I did close it out with Vetra first. But then I started speaking to Reyes more in fucking Kadara, the leader of Kadara.
Oh, I do. I saw that he had a lot of flirt options. It kept being, I felt like it was being like pushed on me. And I was like, dang.
It's actually crazy how much you can flirt with that guy. I was like, I think he is my number one pick, actually, for my rider is that type of archetype of a. Because if I can't have Liam, I'll just have the next snarky character.
Yeah.
On the list.
Perfect.
I also have, and so I'm dating everyone. It's great.
Yeah.
My ride is getting laid left and right. It's so crazy how many times you fuck people on this ship.
Can we talk
because
about Jarl's
because you wanna talk about Jarl's sex scene? Yeah.
I do. Cause I thought that I missed it. But it turns out I didn't. I got the thing after.
It's after meeting his mom, right?
Yeah, because I did the meeting his mom thing
and then
a
you
while
go to his
ago,
childhood
and
bedroom,
so I thought that maybe I missed that. This is a different thing that happens later after you get, like, to Journey to Meridian. I got it. And so then I got the email. Was like, I want to show you a place on.
Havaral is normally his zone.
This is not Aya. He wants to show you a place on Aya, his favorite spot on Aya.
Sure.
It takes you to a little lookout. And then he takes you to this like beautiful like clearing by a lake. And your rider is sort of like, holy shit. Also, like, it's crazy that there aren't a million people here. And he's like, I have people. He's like, I've orchestrated this. Don't worry. We will not be disturbed. And then you get the react to kiss him.
Mm.
And then he gets fucking naked, full naked. They show it. He's got a weird body. I'm obsessed.
Yeah,
it's
he does.
It's crazy good. And then he and you get naked and get in the lake. We see full rider bush. It's great, too. I'm excited about that. And then he's super romantic about it. He says that you're the most beautiful creature he's ever met in mind and body or whatever. It's cute.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys make out in the lake. And then the sex scene starts and he fully goes down on you. I'm like, I was like, I don't think BioWare's ever done it that for real. Like, that was a for real sex scene in a way I have not seen. It was not a montage. It was not.
No, he's just full on top and then is.
And then
hard making out
climbs
with you.
Down your body.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my fucking
whilst
God.
Whilst Wright is showing full, I mean.
Yeah.
It's full tit with a female writer.
Full tit.
Yeah.
Full tit. I was so happy. And Jarl being an eater really makes sense. I feel like that's really in character.
Yeah.
I feel like that, you know, like.
Yeah, they're all about emotions. They gotta be full eaters.
I know. Yeah. I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was legit beautiful. I'm so proud of BioWare for that scene. Anyway, continue on with your sex capades, your slut rider. I'm all ears.
That's kind of it. I'm kind of dating everyone. I'm having a great time.
Who of your run has had the best sex scene since
I haven't had any sex scenes yet except for PB. That's the only sex scene I've had.
Okay.
Because I'm full. I mean, next week I'm going to come back with like an orchestrated list of sex.
Okay, great. Excellent. Thank you. Yes. Have that on my desk.
But I've done everyone's loyalty mission except for Liam. the only one I haven't done, because Liam's is annoying to get because you need an outpost on every planet, which is the only thing I haven't done yet. I have one planet, which
we got to talk about PBs. We got to finish talking about PBs.
Yes, because you had a big problem with PBs. Yeah, when she locks you, she's like, oh, there's remnant tech over here. So it's also her ex who is...
Yes, it's her fucking problematic ex.
It's her problematic ex who is chasing you across the galaxy. Or like racing you for remnant tech and has broken into the Tempest to steal PB's stuff. And then you're racing to find this remnant tech on a planet that is just, it's like, it's not necessarily a new planet, but it's all active volcanoes. And then they're like, oh, there's no safe place to land. And PB's like, oh, I have a thing to show you in my room, if we can go in. And then you walk in, and then she closes the escape hatch and then launches you onto the planet into an active volcano and is like, we might not live this, by the way. And then there is constantly, there's three different prompts in this whole mission of Phoebe going, are you mad at me?
Yeah. And I go, yes. Yeah. Yeah. The first thing I said was, this is actually too far. This is legitimately too far.
Yeah, yeah. You could have let us know and then we could have had a more informed decision about it. There is one thing just before. This is nothing to do with PB. This is PB's mission. There is a very good visual joke if you bring Drac along with you, which is so you know the like safety bars that come around you and they like lock you into place?
Yeah.
If Drac's with you, he's sitting on the other side and he's too big for the bars to fit. So the bars keep like closing and opening and closing and opening. As you're having this conversation, he's like trying to like pull it down, but he's too big for it. It's very funny. But it does make this scene more treacherous because you crash on the planet. Your ship is fucked.
The space shuttle pod is done.
You learn as you're running, as you're like trying to get to this remnant deck, there's literally nowhere to land. Tempest is too big. Your shuttle is destroyed because you didn't plan any of this, which you could have easily planned some of it. And then PB's dastardly ex turns up and her dastardly ex has a bunch of little minions and mercenaries that she's paid, trusted allies of hers. But to you, they are simply fodder.
You murder them
brutally, kill them. Yeah, in elaborate ways. You then get to the tech, you find it. PB's ex jumps for it, slips, is like hanging onto the side of this remnant tech thing and is going to fall off. PB is successful, picks up the remnant tech, and then the whole thing shifts, and then PB drops the tech, and her ex is falling to her death. And at this point, I was like, oh, it's going to make us choose. We either get the remnant tech or we save the ex. And I was like, well, I'm going to save the tech. Because the ex is evil and has tried to kill us. And also, I hate it when video games do this, and they always do this. You slaughter a bunch of people, and then it gets to the lead villain, and it's like, no, I'm better than that. And it's like, no, you're not.
You just killed
35 people.
Yeah.
It's fucking
without
insane.
Without fucking hesitation.
Yeah. This person is arguably worse, but it doesn't do that. It instead... PB is like, I'm saving her, runs to go save her, and you have the choice of just shooting and killing the ex so that PB will go get the tech. And I was like, that is a different decision than which one do you save. Actively shooting someone that your companion is running to try to save is crazy.
I did it. I shot her.
Yeah.
I shot her instantly. I said... PB said the words like, I don't want her to die out loud, and started running for her. And I shot, and in my head, Ryder, if she were a real fucking person, would have said, you fucking crashed my shuttle, almost killed me and Jahl, and we still might not make it out alive for that little piece of fucking tech. You're about to abandon it for this woman who just spent the last hour trying to kill us?
Last hour? Fucking... This woman has spent...
Right, yeah.
She's been planet hopping trying to kill us.
Yes, exactly. No, I shot her so quick. I didn't even read the full reaction. I hit it like as though a gun was in my hand. I pulled the fucking trigger. I was so happy to kill her. And then PB was like, why did you do that? And I was like, why are you speaking? Get into your fucking room. Get to
go
your room.
Go to your room.
Go to your room. You're done. What? Like, I'm sorry. Like, I fear for the chore list on the fucking Tempest. Like, does no, like, I'm surrounded there, by children.
There is a conversation
children.
When you get back where you're debriefing on the mission, and then Ryder is like, you have, and PB's like, that's going to be hard to fix, looking at the escape pod, and you're like, you have to pay this back. Like, you have to pay me money. And then it's like, even the kindest option is like, and if you can't afford it now, you're going to work until you can afford it.
Yeah.
There's no getting away. You've literally cost us. And it's crazy him saying, if you can't afford it, you're going to have to work overtime. Because I'm like, it's an escape vessel. It's like, what, $5 billion to attach onto it?
You're onto welcome a to customized... indentured servitude, BB. You can't. You're
fixing this shit up until you're done, hon. I'm glad you're an Asari, because it's going to take a couple hundred years for you to fix this
Bill
shit.
Bill Turner, you're a liar, and you're going to spend a lifetime on this ship.
My grandkids are going to be here when you fix this fucking vessel.
Unbelievable, PB.
Yeah.
I'll get her.
She is the most Manic Pixie Dream Girl that we've seen.
Oh, so much.
In this.
So much.
It's so truly like... Oh my God, isn't she so quirky? This is the world's most mentally ill woman. Holy shit.
Yeah.
She actually says, she says several times, oh, I kind of want to, I don't know if this is the same for you, but during the romance zones, she's like, I kind of want to just like get all my shit and run, like leave and run away from this place. And I'm like, I'll fucking kill you.
She says that to me a lot too, in a non-romantic way. She's like, and then after you do her loyalty mission, she's like, hey guys, I've decided to stay. And I'm like, you've decided to stay? I have a gun to your head. You have to replace my fucking, you like, are you fucking kidding me?
If you run away, I will find you and launch you into a volcano for realsies.
I will do it. I will do it. I'm insane. I got made Pathfinder against my will.
I killed 40 people today. I'll do it. One more's nothing to me, man.
Do you know my best friend, Reyes, leader of all crime?
Reyes. I like him so much.
PB.
He's great.
Love him.
I also have a thing of, for some reason this week, I thought this since we started. I do not think we have enough companions. I think we need two more companions, and I know who they are.
I like that.
It is your twin, and it is Reyes. Those are the two additional companions.
Why is my twin so not a part of this story?
It's crazy.
Why is he not a part of the story? In Journey to the Meridian,
they wake up, fully wake up, and I'm like, sick. They have to be a companion. Like, my twin woke up a while ago. Fascinating. Oh, crazy. Yeah, mine just woke up in Journey to Meridian.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. No, because... Wait, did you start Journey to the Meridian? Last week? Insane. Oh, yeah. Mine only turned up.
Yeah. Because when I did my final memory too, he had already been up for like a while, and he was just like working on shit, and I have not seen him.
Might be wrong then.
Maybe I'm wrong.
The thing is that weirdly, because we have such a fast turnaround over the past few weeks on these episodes, rather than like Vegas and this and like the first half of this,
early
which took
part
us a
of
few
this.
Weeks.
Yeah.
It's because I did it 3 days ago. And I'm like, huh, I just could have sworn that if we did it later. Yeah.
No, I agree. So wait. Tell me again. Your twin, definitely yes. What was the
Reyes.
Other? And Reyes.
I mean, come on, man. It's like the thing is I need this crew to be more scrappy than they are.
Yeah.
I think this is such a good story for everyone wants the world, the galaxy to be viable. Like, everyone should be working toward it, not just military. We talked about this briefly last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, Drak, Vetra, they're scrappy, and I like that. Jarl is here for interesting reasons. It's like, I think... And PB kind of is here for interesting reasons. Cora, Liam, I think are too military for me to be like, yeah, I just need a little less, like, I don't know. Rather than us being a military vessel, I think it would be more interesting if we were like a, just something else. A crew of more scrappy people.
Yeah.
Now, it's not to say I don't like this team, because I really do now. I actually think this team's incredibly strong.
Yeah, I do too. Do you know, I have kind of an idea. Okay.
I love
and obviously,
ideas.
This idea means nothing because the game was made years ago. But like, okay, because Reyes, I like the idea of Reyes being a companion. But do you know what I really love about him is that he is the like crime syndicate lord of of that
planet.
You like
him being in the next game?
And I know what I would love is I would love if, especially in this game, because this game, different from all the others, has really, really interesting, distinct. You have several home bases. You have a home base in several different places by the time you get to the finale. It would be cool if you had a location-specific companion that could do missions with you while you're on that
planet. While you're on that planet. That
but
bus.
Like can't like leave and go on your ship with you because he works
it's
here.
Like,
he lives
I'm here.
Here.
This
is yeah. But like for sure, I can go chase down enemies with you on my planet because this is my turf. This is my place. I think that would be cool because I really do like how many home bases you have in this game.
Yeah. Oh my god, there is a game where you do that, and it's fucking Kingdom Hearts is what I'm thinking about. But yes, I like it. You go to you go to the Agrabah planet and you can have Aladdin on your team if you want and run around with
it.
And I like that shit. I think that's really fun. That's a great idea. I like that.
Then, okay, couple of things. I also got after you fuck Jarl. Oh, wait, is this? All right. The order of this doesn't really matter. But after you fuck Jarl.
Sure.
And maybe after Journey to Meridian, I can't remember which order it happened in, you get another romance scene, or it might just be like a scene that you get no matter what, if you're not romancing him too, with Jarl, where he's like, hey, you know how I've been looking for a place among my people, and like I've been looking for a purpose in life and all of that stuff, and you're like, yeah. And he's like, they want to give me my own squad. They think that the work I've done with you has made me respectable among my people, and I am going to be the leader of my own crew. That's what they want. And I'm like, I got fucking Dorian'd again. He's we fucked and he's gonna fucking leave me. I'm gonna to go fix his own shit with his own people, and I can't even be mad because it's so respectable. And so my writer is like, well, I'm in your corner. Like, what can I do? And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm not doing it. I'm just happy that they asked, but I'm staying with you. And I was like, ooh.
Love that.
Yeah.
Also, I want to confirm with you, because I'm looking through our messages again. We didn't finish Journey to Meridian, because that locks you out of it. That's the point of no return.
You want to finish Journey to Meridian.
We got up to...
Journey to Meridian, when you're done, starts Meridian the Way Home. The Way Home then leads to the point of no return halfway through.
Yes.
Yes. So you do want to finish the Journey to Meridian, which we should now maybe talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating. So do you know what's so funny?
You didn't do it?
On the wiki, there's also a point of no return in Journey to Meridian.
It's a point of no return for Journey to Meridian.
A specifically lengthy mission. And I got the two confused.
Oh my God. So you don't know the one thing that we have to talk about right now, which is the reveal of Journey to Meridian.
This is only the first time this has happened to me. You have also done this before. Thank you very much.
Oh, no. In no way am I upset or mad at you.
Oh, I thought you were yelling at me.
No, this is just so funny.
That's so fun because you were like, it's not a very long mission. And then I started playing. I was like, oh, yeah, it's not a long mission, I guess. Because it's, I mean, this is, if it's when we get to here, it's like, this is the absolute point of no return. And then you screen capped a bit and I read it and I was like, yeah, that says the same thing. And then I stopped.
That's so funny. This is so funny because the point of no return for Journey to Meridian is just landing on Meridian.
Landing on the space Chibik station. System. So specifically, it is go to Keytastra in the Chibik system. And that's the point of no return for the mission. And what you said is return to Remnant City in the Chibik system. And I was like, okay, so it's the Chibik system. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's where the point of no return is.
That's so fucking funny.
And I give it up. I do have a lot to talk about, though, because I have I have done everyone's loyalty missions except for Liam's. I did the thing with Gil. I exiled Spender.
You did. Okay.
In Drax's mission.
Cool.
That's why my sister is awake, because my sister woke up in...
Yes!
She wakes up in Journey to Meridian. She wakes up, like, at the beginning of it, I think, or something. I found the Turian Ark. So I found the Turian Ark, and I've brought all the Turians home. In the middle of Jarl's mission, where I had the quick time event to meet his mum, I missed the hug because at the exact time the cutscene started, beloved guest Venetia Valetti texted me, and I looked at the text, and as I looked back, it was like the last millisecond of Huggy's mom happened. So we can blame Viddy for the missing.
I'll get him.
Also, let me say this. We should still talk about all of Journey to Meridian.
Do you think?
I'm so fine with all the spoilers. Okay. You can just talk at me about it.
I'm going to just tell you. Really, it's not... The thing about it is that there's not much to talk about, but the thing is that there's a big reveal in it that I will talk about. But you finish your other stuff first.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I'm here to tell you about Dice Exploder, a podcast where each week me and a rotating co-host take one tabletop RPG mechanic, just one mechanic, and break it down as deep as we possibly can. If you love thinking about role-playing games and how they work, this is the show for you. Come listen to me talk to Alex Roberts about love and pity, John Harper about elegance and layout, and Mikey Ham about, what else? Exploding dice! It's an interview show, a review show, a design show, and most of all, a show for anyone who loves these games. Come on down and join us. Find Dice Exploder at DiceExploder.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I will die on the hill that using music and ambience to set the scene is the best way to get your TTRPG players immersed in your game. But a lot of the times, I found it incredibly hard to juggle GMing and switching music in the moment. That was until Pocket Bard came along. Pocket Bard is a free, easy-to-download app that comes with ready-to-use scenes, ambiences, and a beautiful intensity slider. So when the mood changes on the fly, so can you. And now, Pocket Bard has come from your pocket to the PC with the launch of their desktop app. And with free RPG Day around the corner, what a fantastic time to get your group together, no matter where they are, and play some new games with the help of Pocket Bard. Download it today directly from the Pocket Bard website and enjoy prepping less and playing more.
So really, there's just one last little bit that I want to talk about, which is I found, whilst talking to Callow, I found a weird signal from one of our outposts on Eos. Mm-hmm. Went back there, did a whole little mission because it was we were finding distress calls, not distress calls, we were finding just some form of announcements from not the Archon, but Ket announcements denouncing the Archon.
Yes.
And they were both fighting each other. We saw a bunch of Ket fighting each other. And then I found, you follow this thread the whole way through, and then you find it begins with P. The second in command, the Archon's second in command.
Right. I don't remember the word. I'm not going to remember it.
And she is like, oh, the Archon is This is where
yes, I did
it,
this.
Like it yeah. gives stuff that we as players know because we see a lot with the Archon of the Archon is just like a general. He
right,
isn't
he's
this
not
big
the
overarching
leader.
Guy.
Yeah.
Someone else in another galaxy is, or just another system that we just don't have access to is. And she is like, he is not doing a good job and I don't want him in charge anymore.
Yes.
So she says that he is going to tell, because he is so obsessed with the remnant tech and getting to the Meridian. And she's like, we had control of this galaxy without mm-hmm. it. We do not need it to control this galaxy and take it over.
Mm-hmm.
And then says, when it's getting to the final battle, he is going to give you a, he's going to send me after you.
Yeah.
But what I can do is give you a kill code for our ship. So when you put it in, we don't have to fight. You can get to the Archon really easy. And then after you kill him, we can go back and regroup with the rest of our army, like the greater Ket army. And then she offers you that deal. Like, you don't kill us, so we can go regroup and we will give you the codes to, like, disable our ship. So you can get to him easier. How good of a deal is that? It took me a second to really consider what she was saying, which is, I don't want him in charge, but I...
Yep.
But we are going to yep. kill you and,
yeah, she
and
says
kill
that
everyone
outright.
In this galaxy.
She says, I'm going to... She says we're going to eventually assimilate you.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to happen. Just, you'll have a little bit longer.
You'll have
and
a little bit
like,
longer. And I said, no,
no,
I'll fucking kill you. What
I'll
are you
fucking
talking
kill
about?
You and I'll do it easily. Have you seen me?
You're literally not a threat to me at all. Every
at
single person you've
all.
Put in my way is
at all
dust.
Done.
I'm shooting people through walls. I'm getting headshots. I'm doing 360 no-scope headshots through walls. And you think I'm fucking scared of you, hun?
Please.
Crazy to me.
Please.
Yeah, and I thought it's... Because this is also a side mission. This isn't a main mission, that little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what a fascinating little side mission. Little side mission quest. And big decision. Felt really weighty.
Yeah, it is.
Like, essentially saving them. And I feel like this is part of a little bit of the sad song of this game, which is they were expecting to have to get a sequel. They're expecting more. Because
yes.
this is clearly a, they're going to go back to their greater numbers and then you would re-find them again in a later entry in the series.
Yep.
Which evidently they never got. But yeah, I thought it was cool. I said no, obviously.
Yeah, I said no. I said, fuck no.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. We don't. But then Ryder said something that I don't agree with, which is we don't work with Ket ever. And I'm like, no. That's
I
not...
would work with a Ket that... did not want to assimilate everybody.
Yeah.
I would happily do that.
You remember Legion?
Yeah.
I'd work with the enemy.
Please.
It's, yeah. It's, I love that type of storyline, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you are phrasing it in a way that's like, this is stupid. Why would I ever do
you've
this?
You've made me sound stupid and dumb. What I'm saying is I'm not going to side with you because you're literally threatening me.
Yeah,
as part of our
you're giving me a dog shit deal. It's like I'm gonna be hitting this guy anyway. You've said he's so obsessed with the Meridian that he's just gonna keep fighting for it. And it's like, okay, so it's not like you're gonna stop me finding him. Like he's in this galaxy. I just go through you. Who cares? If you want to live, abandon post.
Yeah, it's the solution's easy.
And then there was a thing, I talked to Suvi after this, and she was like, yeah, it's so interesting, because that's, like, she talks about how Ket are like a collective, they have like collective ideals and a collective nature, so any dissent is negative,
mm-hmm.
even if the, you know, the person that's dissenting
is bad. And
did you
tell her, like, welcome to your religion, buddy?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. I was like, I mean, that's a weird way to put it. Because I was like, are you trying to make a comment on communism? Is that what you're trying to do to me right now? That's
yeah.
so crazy. That has nothing to do with, like, I don't know. It was weird.
I was
like,
super
I haven't
rude
got
to
that
her,
vibe at all.
But I have to tell you about Meridian first before I can tell you
Please
how
do.
Rude I was
Please
there.
Do. Please do.
Okay. So, Journey to Meridian.
Mm-hmm.
We find Meridian. We're like, holy shit, we've got the location. Let's go. We call a big meeting. We're whole crew on board. You have a little talk. Ryder, again, not great at speeches. We go to Meridian. Meridian turns out to be...
Well, you're not very good at speeches. Tarn says no. You're not going.
Tarn says no. Yeah, that's
you're
true.
You're not doing it. And then kind of just like cuts the whole thing off. All of the Pathfinders together are like, okay.
Fuck off. We're doing it
anyway. What we're going to do is we're going to... We're just going to do it anyway. And then there's a conversation about like how it's like, this is... Korra actually brings us up and is like, oh, but this is... Like, we could get sanctioned if we, you know, make this back alive. And it's like, yeah, so what? We're Pathfinders. It's fine.
Yeah.
We have to do this for the future of literally everyone.
Yeah. They're being stupid and dumb and bad and wrong. So we go. Meridian turns out to be this enormous space station the size of a large city. And it is beautiful. It's really beautiful. Part of why it is beautiful, you will learn when you get onto the ground, is that between basically every single block of flooring is like high-powered electric sludge that glows a beautiful bluish hue. It's incredible. It's the worst design city I've ever seen in my life, but it's stunning. It looks amazing. The glass literally glows blue. It's gorgeous. It's incredible.
Beautiful.
You get in here, and basically the goal... This is a long, like a lengthy little fight, but not much is really happening. You're fighting a bunch of Kett, a bunch of remnants, lots and lots of remnants, like more than we've really encountered in the whole game. And we're trying to get to like the main console to figure out what it is about this place, like what is actually going to happen here.
Yeah.
And access it. The fight, though, is really good. I think it's really dynamic. The weird, you know, electric sludge makes things very interesting. You can't like navigating is interesting. So you're doing a lot of like, you know, boost jumps and there's a lot of fights. If you did not release the Krogan way towards the beginning, apparently you do have to fight.
I'm reading
some
that now.
Krogan
yeah.
Kets here. I did not have to do that. It was a brief.
And also if you do, then the Pathfinder sets up a turret to help you in the fight as well. So there's like kind of a payoff regardless of which one you do, which is kind of fun.
Anyway, you make it eventually through this whole fight. You make it to the main console. You get it rewired. You get it turned on. All of the stuff that we've been doing in all of the other like remnant cities and stuff. You get it turned on. And we learn via the messages there that this is not Meridian. It's not Meridian at all. It's not Meridian.
Fantastic.
Meridian left. This is all they left behind. We also learn that Meridian was created by an ancient race called the Jardan, who also essentially manufactured and created the Kett. So the Kett and...
Ooh,
yeah,
cool.
The Kett and...
The Angara,
by extension,
apparently.
The Angara... were invented, and the Angara are like uncooked Kett. It's like the design.
Oh, so all Kett are Angara. That's so fun.
And the
okay.
Kett have now adapted the technology to turn other species into Kett, but the Angara are like supposed to be Kett. Like what the Kett are saying is very technically true. Like, the Angara were made to eventually be Kett by the Jardan.
Sick.
And the Jardan...
So it is kind of what we were hoping it would be.
It's a little bit. Yeah, it's definitely more interesting. I mean, they're still doing the weird thing where they're making everybody into Kett for some reason, but like...
Yeah, it's still just the Reapers again.
Right.
But yeah.
But this is interesting. Definitely interesting. And then now the actual location of Meridian is completely unknown to us. They have left and abandoned this place because it was under siege. And then we get a enormous attack from like a bajillion Ket ships all at once. And it's like, we're never getting the fuck out of here. But then we get a call from what's his face?
Tahn.
And he's like, Pathfinder, we see what you're seeing. We were so wrong. You were right. I'm so sorry. They like light up and bomb the city to bits. And while they do, the Ket like retreat, and we're able to get extracted and escape. And so now it's just like, okay, we've stolen as much information from this fake Meridian as we can. We now have to figure out if it's possible to find the true Meridian and get what we came here to get.
Sick.
So that's the whole journey to Meridian. And now we're on a like thing after you do this, then it opens up Meridian the Way Home, which is basically like searching different solar systems
for
signs of the real Meridian. When I get back on the ship, I have a conversation with Suvi, and Suvi is like, hey, I wonder if like God, our God, could have been like a thing like the Jardan, like something that was mortal that created us. And there's an option to say, I think maybe the rudest and most fun thing I've ever said in this game that actually comes out of Ryder's mouth. I think it's the only time Ryder's actually been rude. But Ryder basically says, like, you'd find a way to delude yourself anyway.
Whoa! Yeah.
I know!
Damn! That's crazy.
So I said that. And then, unfortunately, Suvi was like, yeah, you're right. Like, I'm not happy about that. And I was like, be fucking pissed at me. I just insulted your entire worldview.
Yeah.
So bluntly.
Wow.
Be pissed. Be so offended. That's so fun.
Like that.
But yeah,
that was Jardan thing. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's definitely something, I'm excited.
It is kind of, it's kind of rehashing old storylines, but I do appreciate that in my brain, this is like a group of writers got an idea based on the Reapers. Wouldn't it be interesting if, but we can't do Reapers, so let's do this instead.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's just similar enough, but I do really like
there's
that.
There's a twist.
Line.
Yeah.
I
no,
think
and
that's
I'm very
really
happy
fun.
About it.
And
I
really
expect that there's more yet to be unlocked because we actually haven't found Meridian yet. So I'm sure there's going to be more interesting things to learn. So
also I put a pin in a thing earlier.
Oh, please.
When you said that there's a lot of like boost jumps and stuff, I had to replay, I think like an hour of game because in Jarl's mission, in his loyalty mission, when you know how the bridge blows up?
Yeah.
Like the bridge blows up. I saw the bridge blow up and I was like, no, I could make that. And I did. And I successfully jumped over across by doing a boost jump, a dash, another boost jump and another dash. And I made it to the other side and my game completely bricked.
No, fuck off.
It had absolutely no idea how to handle the
fact
that I had broken three sequences and a cutscene because I was running around trying to activate the next because I was like, okay, it's walled me off. I'm not allowed to cross this point again. So I was like, fine. I jumped down. And then as I was walking forward, like everything was triggering all at once. And then some things were just fully not triggering. And I was like, okay, fine. I reloaded
okay.
the game. I was like,
okay.
Stupid video game. So there's a thing in this, which I do think is a pretty big problem. And it is something that is unique to this game having so many biomes and stuff to do that is not present in Inquisition. Part of me wants to say it's about padding and it's annoying. Having to go to a planet, you do basically a conversation, and then it's like, fantastic. This is for almost all loyalty missions. It's a lot of missions. You do a tiny thing. You have to go back on the Tempest. You need to answer an email or do a vid call. Go either back to the exact same planet or go to a different planet. And it's like, I like the kind of planet hopping, the consistent need to go back to the Tempest and do the most minor thing.
Yes.
Is so fucking annoying because it is 2 minutes of cutscenes to before you do it. It's like, waiting to get on the ship, the take off.
And that's unskippable, baby. You can't skip the Tempest.
And then you
have
to do the cutscene going back in. And then if you're going to another system, you have to have this the cutscene of you going into warp and then the cutscene of you flying down, which luckily is skippable. But it's just, it's the world's most annoying thing. But it is something that on in this week in particular, doing everyone's loyalties, pissed me off a lot. I was getting annoyed. But it doesn't happen in Inquisition. And I think the reason why it doesn't happen in Inquisition is because everyone's loyalty, most people's loyalty mission at least, is in a separate instance. Like it's its own unique zone. PB's is also, her final bit is in her own unique zone, which I really like because it's like, this is a completely new zone. I don't need to be continuously hopping up and down.
Yes.
But I think the reason why I appreciated that is because you have to keep popping up and down for the next, the like her previous five little like sequence bits that you need to do with her, which is like, oh, go unlock all this tech and go do all this and go do all this. And anyway, it's annoying and it annoys me.
It does.
It really slows down and I feel like it's padding. Also, everyone has like two loyalty missions. They have one that's a loyalty mission and a thing that's just a personal, just doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Which again, I don't mind.
I don't mind really, that. I thought that was cute, to be totally
honest. Also do, but I really wish it was kind of within the same thread of a loyalty mission because it does clog up my quest bar a tad too much. Anyway, that was just a thing that I was thinking of as you were talking.
Yeah.
Just because I remembered that I did that sequence break jump and it annoyed me because I was like, I need to jump up and down back and from the Tempest over and over again.
I know.
And the Tempest isn't that fun to walk around in. I do like all the ambient dialogue, but this is a very, very, very minor thing for me. Going up and down the ladder to do...
No, it takes too long. It takes too long. Why is that ladder take too long? It takes so long.
Straight up give me stairs.
Give me
the fact that it doesn't have stairs is weird. I think I genuinely think it's weird that I don't have stairs.
Yeah. I slide down ladders in Inquisition all the time. Takes 2 seconds. Why?
Well, the thing about Inquisition that's fun is you can also just jump.
You can also just jump.
If I'm at the top of a ladder, just let me walk.
You can't jump if you're not wearing your space suit in this game. And frankly...
Frankly?
Why?
A thing which I really liked.
What?
Drak storyline.
Yes. Yeah.
Drak has a really interesting thing about how he's so old now that prosthetics are getting rejected. His redundant organs are getting more and more, like, he's getting more and more redundant organs.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of shit in his, like, and it's a whole conversation where he's like, oh my God. And then you have this beautiful thing of him being like, I lived through the Krogan rebellions. Again, I didn't know Krogan lived to 1,000 years old. I don't know why I didn't know this. Do they talk about this in the original trilogy?
I'm trying to remember, and I don't
because I was
really
like,
recall...
I thought Asari were unique because they lived 1,000 years. That's what was unique about them.
There's things like that sometimes I miss. So, like, I don't know if they've talked about it. Yeah. I don't remember it being a big plot point, but I don't know.
Krogan die all the time, so I'm like, did they just never bring it up? That they... live to be like 1,000 years old, because that means that Rex is probably still alive, right?
And I also think, okay, if I'm remembering right, I think that's kind of why it was like, because like if they didn't live for 1,000 years, the genophage would have already wiped them out, right? Like we would have already been done with Krogan.
Yeah,
because the
genophage
is not new. Like, it's been around for a couple of generations, and, like...
I mean, again, he was in the Krogan Rebellions, which is before they made the genophage.
Yeah.
And then...
So I feel like it did come up, but I don't really remember.
No, I don't remember it. It's really... I just was... I keep remembering being shocked whenever he says, I'm, like, 1,000 years old. I'm like, you're 1,000 years old? I didn't know Krogan lived like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway... Whole thing, lived through the Krogan Rebellions, genophage happened, blah, 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 and then, and now he's like at the end of his life cycle, 1,000 years old, everything is failing. He's a very, very old man. And then the doctor, Lexi, on board is like, you have to stop. Like, you have to stop fighting. Yeah. And I know that we're in the middle of this, but you actually won't survive if you keep doing this much longer. And then you have a conversation with him about it. And then he has this really beautiful thing where he talks about his daughter, who isn't his biological daughter. I don't believe I think they say it's not his biological daughter. It is someone who the Krogan abandoned because she was going to die. She was like really weak and frail and was like, oh, this person isn't going to survive very long and we need to focus on people who are going to survive. And how he raised her. And like she became the reason why he kept fighting when he was like a mercenary for like 300 years and was like, oh, all of my organs are failing and everything's fucked. I have no reason to keep going. And then she was dropped in his lap, he said. And then she was this weak, frail thing who was like dead without him. And then he was like, okay, so this is why I'm going to fight. And then Kesh was coming here and he was like, who's his granddaughter? And he was like, okay, I'm going then. And then he got on and he decided to go. And I'm like, I fucking love this Krogan, man. This is a good, we've had like three basically perfect Krogan companions. We had the classic in Rex, who turned to be this like great leader. We had the quote unquote perfect genetic Krogan, who's our
good boy.
Who's our good son, our baby boy. 3 years old. Who's like technically not a Krogan, so there's this whole conversation of like, oh, like this whole thing that he has to deal with of like, I don't think I'm real. And now with Drac, with the like, he's lived through all of it,
right?
And is like, I am literally a living history of Krogan. There was also this other conversation that he had passively with someone. It might have been Liam.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might have been Jarl, I can't remember. But it was like where he was, where he said that he doesn't think he has anything worth giving. The only thing he has is his combat abilities. And they're like, well, you are literally a living history. Like, pretty much every major event since Krogan have found spaceflight, you have lived through and can tell that story. Like, that is so, that's what's important about you and your life. And I'm like, this guy's good. I like Drac a lot. I think he's great. Yeah, good companion.
Yeah, I love him.
I like him a lot. He probably is my favorite. If we were to rank companions in this, I think Drac would be number one for me.
Oh, it's Jarl for me for sure. I love him. I just love him. I think he's so good, and I think his body is so weird. And I love it.
I have seen him naked because when him and Liam are
trading
armor,
do the scene. Yeah.
I was also like, man, your body is so interesting.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
And that's
But
the
then
dream.
I had a lot of the fun.
That's what we all want to hear when we take our clothes off.
Yeah. I had all the fun. So you look so interesting.
So interesting.
Yeah, it really gives me a lot of confidence whenever people say that to me and my naked body.
Yeah, so interesting.
Wow, you're
what's
so
happening here? There's
interesting.
A lot.
Yeah, is this normal?
This is just what you always look
kinda
like.
Fun.
So next week we are going straight through to the end.
It's done, baby. We're closing the damn thing out.
We're
rolling credits.
Hell yeah.
Two things. Whilst looking at the wiki for Meridian, the way home, nope, the one before that.
Journey to Meridian.
Did you find the puzzle door? It just says puzzle door.
I didn't.
But do you see that there's a nug behind it? From Dragon Age? There's a nug.
Cute. That's funny. Because there's Krogan heads in the Winter Palace.
Yes. And there's a ogre in Mass Effect 2.
Yep. Yeah. Same.
There's a lot of fun little. And also when finish the game, check emails. I know that for a Dragon Age reference.
I've heard this. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. So we finish the game next week, baby. It's
finish the
time.
Game next week.
And you gross little slug.
Whoa, hold on.
What?
I was going to ask you something.
What? Ask me.
This is very minor. This is just future Dorksborn stuff. Do we know what game we're doing afterward? Do we want
to No, we need to talk about it, and then we will and tell them next week, I think.
We'll let you know next week what game is on next on the Dorksport docket.
You can wait.
You can wait, you
can
fucking
wait,
slugs.
You fucking pieces of shit. We'll tell you next week. Good God.
Stop asking.
Stop asking.
It's
we'll
so
tell
fucking
you next
annoying.
Week. Oh, my
God. Oh, my God.
God.
I'm going to put you in a escape shuttle and jettison you into a volcano,
and,
you fucking
And do you know
freak.
What? And do you know why?
Because make no mistake.
This was
this
always a one-way trip.
The last few weeks, we've fucked that up every time.
What is the quote?
It's just make no mistake, this is a one-way trip, but we keep adding words in.
This is always a one-way trip. This was... because you know what? I think I keep combining it with the Fallout New Vegas one.
The game was rigged from the start?
Yeah, I think there's something about the...
It doesn't have always.
No, you don't understand. There's something about the rhythm of it that I want
this
to match.
This was always a one-way trip.
Yeah, I'm like sure. Trying to match its rhythm because it... Whatever. Whatever.
Whatever.
It's a one-way trip. Get
it's a one-way trip. Shut up. I'm jettisoning you into space now.